Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everyone here. We want to start. Do we want to start at the border, with Biden? Or do we want to start the House of Representatives? Or do we want to start with something important? Let's start with something important. Some good news. We'll start off the show with some good news. This is sent in by the curmudgeon, one of the listeners, one of our billions of documented listeners. We don't have any undocumented listeners. We only have documented listeners. Billions. Billions. As Donald Trump would say, billions. And this is from the Gateway Pundit, reports that since the pandemic, district government schools have lost about 2 million students. And some districts are shutting down underused schools because they don't have enough kids to put in the schools. And that's good news. In fact, let's see here. For just in 2020, the spring of 2020, 81% of school children in the United States were enrolled in district government schools. By November of 2020 alone, that had plummeted to 72%. If you do the math on that, that's almost 10%. If you matriculated in the government schools, grab a calculator and try subtracting 72 from 81, and it's almost 10. I'm not going to give away the answer. I want to make things fun for you. But now it's about 2 million. And now this isn't, it's not all rosy, because some of these kids are going from district government schools to charter government schools. So they're still being abused and assaulted within the government school system. But the grip of the district system has been breached a little bit, and a lot of kids are out of the public schools altogether. And that's a great way to start the week, just knowing that that is true and that that is continuing. Meanwhile, there are other things happening. I got a story here. This is kind of it's kind of disturbing, actually. The headline from the Free Beacon: the Biden administration policies could place migrant kids in homes with sex offenders. And you read that headline, and it's shocking and scary, and you wonder, where are they sending these kids? To the White House? Are they sending them to Paul Pelosi's house? Are they sending them to Bill Clinton's presidential library? Putting these kids in danger with sex offenders. You know, Biden's border visit, just his entourage alone, will expose more illegal aliens to sex offenders than ever before in history. Just his motorcade going by will put them in. That's right. All right. So they bulldozed the encampments in El Paso ahead of the emperor's visit. And folks in Los Angeles were like, man, I wish he'd come here. They could bulldoze my part of town and it wouldn't look like a death camp. A death camp, yeah, full of people killing themselves, though. America has a different way of doing the death camp. We do it to ourselves. It's really ugly. But anyway, so Biden's headed down there. And over the past few months, the U.S. government has been handing migrant children over to American adults who have not submitted to background checks. Now, in the past, that wouldn't have been that big of a deal. If you went back maybe 70 years, you could have handed an immigrant child to just about any American adult and not had to worry about that adult being a creep. But now, well, there's a lot of creeps, and a lot of the people who want to help with the kids, they're creeps. So vulnerable children are being placed in the custody of guardians who have histories of child neglect and even registered sex offenders. Because the flood is so overwhelming, they don't have time to do background checks. And so the system is overloaded. Let's see. The practice of waiving background checks for adults who take alien children began shortly after the child molesting Biden administration took over. And they prioritized, instead of prioritizing keeping children safe, they prioritized keeping children in America and adults and anyone else who could get one foot across the Rio Grande. Yes, yes, yes. And so the children are in danger, and they're being put in danger by the government, which is not the way things should be, but that's the way things have devolved. And well, when you let the criminally insane sex perverts take over the government back there in 2020, well, this is where we end up. So let's see, we've been to the border then. So should we talk about the football player? I'm going to talk about the football player because I don't watch football. And I'm from Buffalo, but I can't say I'm a Buffalo Bills fan because I haven't watched football for, I'm thinking, close to 10 years now. Because I find it very difficult to justify entertaining myself watching grown men play a game that doesn't matter while my civilization crumbles around me. It makes me, I got a guilt complex about that. It's like watching movies. How can I escape into a fantasy land and watch movies and entertain myself while civilization is crumbling and being stolen from my children and grandchildren? So I haven't paid attention to football. But what I have been watching, and I'll post a link, I have been watching the cases of athletes and cardiac incidents over the past year or so. And there's a fairly well-documented list that's maintained online. I will link to it. You judge for yourself. They're news articles from local papers. Athlete collapses, goes to the hospital. Athlete collapses and dies. Cause of death? Yeah. Sometimes it's listed. We think it's a heart attack. Sometimes it's just not listed. No cause of death. Unknown. It's just not known. Is it really that important? Anyway, it's really strange. So we check in on the Damar Hamlin saga. The guy who dropped like a rock on Monday Night Football in front of God and everybody. And we're not supposed to assume that it probably has something to do with the vaccine. Because like the healthiest 24-year-old in the world, one of the top five healthiest guys on the planet, dropped like a rock. And without immediate intervention, Damar Hamlin would have been dead. He would have dropped dead on the field if he hadn't received CPR. So I just want to make it clear that I am initially assuming that the Damar Hamlin case is related to the vaccine. That's my default assumption. And I think that's the wiser default position at this point for anyone with a public voice who might influence young, ignorant, or misled people about getting the shot or getting another shot. So if you're thinking about getting the shot or getting another shot or getting the bivalent booster or getting the flu cocktail with the COVID, just I would think twice about that if you're not old and fat and sick. Even if I'm old and fat and sick, I'll probably take my chances. But anyway, that's my advice, is look at all these athletes that are dropping like rocks and dropping dead, some of them. I mean, you've got an 18-year-old Victoria Lee. She's an MMA fighter. She's 18 years old. Drops dead over Christmas. Cause of death? Well, we don't know. 38-year-old Uche Nawaneri. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Another football player. Dropped dead. Why? Well, we don't know. And maybe we'd rather not ask. And if you think it has anything to do with the vaccines, you're probably some kind of crazy. You're some kind of conspiracy theorist. We know that. How do we know? Because we've already interviewed Dr. Fauci about this, and I'll post this up too. Dr. Fauci was interviewed about DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the field after taking a relatively modest hit, very similar to the 10 or 15,000 other hits DeMar Hamlin has taken since high school. And what did Dr. Fauci say? Well, he immediately impugned the assumptions of others to be so presumptuous as to ask about his vaccine status. And he said, you shouldn't be making assumptions. That's bad. That's misinformation, disinformation, it says. What did he call it? He called it worse than that. Your conspiracies and misinformation is what they're doing out there, man. I even heard this and that, and then somebody told me that they heard about this and that, and other people are spreading it, and it spreads like wildfire. Very damaging. Scott Pelley at CBS asks Dr. Fauci, are you concerned about people asking, wondering, implying about the vaccine? Fauci said it is concerning, and Pelley had to stop him and say, concerning? What about horrifying? I'll link to it. You can watch it yourself. The reporter himself is so in the bag for the hysteric position that he even has to lead Fauci, who doesn't really need any leading. Believe me, Fauci knows his part in the play. But Pelley's more hysterical than Fauci. The thing is Pelley probably believes it because he's a complete moron. Fauci's well aware of what's going on. Anyway, so Fauci, after impugning the assumptions of others that he saw and heard about, I heard about some things online, I even heard this, after he impugns them, he makes a diagnosis himself and tells us he can assure us that the vaccine had nothing to do with it. He said, you know, the vaccine, here's the thing, the virus itself can cause terrible, awful, horrible damage to the heart. Horrible, terrible, awful. The vaccine, a minuscule possibility of maybe possible. And then Scott Pelley immediately followed up and said, yes, but Dr. Fauci, isn't it true that the vaccine doesn't prevent the transmission of the COVID virus? And then there would have been crickets, but Pelley didn't ask that. That's what I just asked. Well, if it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID, and COVID can damage your heart, why take a vaccine that might damage your heart but not prevent you from getting damaged from COVID, doctor? Okay, but nobody asks that, because if you ask anything like that, you're crazy. You're some kind of conspiracy nut. Let's see here. Yeah, I would say that Dr. Fauci's interview with Scott Pelley is poetic confirmation that the vaccine should be the very first thing assumed to have contributed to a fellow who gets hit in the chest for his entire life. He's 24. He's stronger and healthier than anyone I know. Dropping like a rock on the field. And again, there can be no doubt that without intervention, DeMar Hamlin would be dead. He would have dropped dead on Monday Night Football in front of God and everybody. For all intents and purposes, he did. It's just somebody brought him back. The CPR brought him back. Anyway, I'll link to this list. There was about 800 when I started following this, and when I double-checked it and triple-checked it and figured out that these are real. About 800 athletic cardiac incidents. There's about 1,500 now, fairly well-documented on a list. And we can assume that there's a lot of others that haven't been reported. And as the sneering Scott Pelley implied, but just by the way he asked the question to Fauci, there's a concerted effort to cover up this obvious link. And that effort fosters an environment of fear. People are afraid to even ask. And so that's a deadly combination. That means the deadliest medical experiment in history is going to continue. And more people are going to get killed because nobody wants to be looked at sideways for saying, gee, did he take the shot? Well, I'm going to look sideways and say, gee, did the kid take the shot? I mean, The fact that an unsupervised clinical trial that is killing people is being allowed to continue, and it's even being promoted. That's a criminal act. And this the COVID shot experiment, it's not a theory. Conspiracy or otherwise, it's not a theory. It's actually happening. And you can go to the VAERS website and check the FDA's own data, which proves, states very plainly, it's already the deadliest clinical trial in history. No shot has ever killed more people, ever, and remained on the market, except maybe fentanyl or heroin. Anyway, so there, that's my report on the football player. We're glad to hear that he's recovering. I hope he recovers. He's young and strong. There's a good chance he will recover. And I'm not going to make a diagnosis. I'm just going to assume that it was probably related to the shot. And I'm going to warn anyone out there, this is just one more reason to consider not getting the shot. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Yes, there we have that, and now we'll move on into, let's go right into the Love and Marriage File. That's right, the Love and Marriage File, where we check in with Jeff Younger. Jeff Younger divorced his wife, Ann Gorgulis, or Gorgulis, or Gorgulas. They have two different last names. If it was like the old days, it would be, well, his name is Jeff Younger and her name is Ann Younger, but that's not how it is because they're divorced, you see. And so, and we don't know why they're divorced, but we're just going to blame both of them. Chances are they both had something to do with that. And so what's happened is Ann Gorgulis has snatched his two sons, one of whom she's trying to transition into a girl. And she's been trying this for well over 2 years. I've been reporting on this story for, I can't believe this is still going on. This all started in Texas when Jeff and Ann decided they could no longer remain married, despite the fact that they have twin sons and they have a responsibility to their children. Instead, they decided to have a responsibility to their own happiness and get a divorce. And so the mother lost her mind. Although she may have already been crazy, I don't know. She started calling his son, Jeff Younger's son, Luna, and dressing him like a girl. The kid's name is actually James, and he's a boy. And Ann Gorgulis, the insane pediatrician, she's a medical doctor for crying out loud, has been fighting with Jeff in the courts in Texas there for the better part of 2 years. As Jeff tries to stop her from castrating his son and turning him into a, well, something like a girl, a eunuch at the least. And so he's been fighting her in the courts in Texas, and the courts in Texas have not given him relief. They have not said, well, wait a minute, you can't kidnap this child and cut off his, that, no. You would think the judge would just look at that and say, she wants to cut off. No, stop that. I mean, Solomon knew who wanted to cut the child. And you don't give it to the one who wants to cut the child. That's like basic justice 101. Right? But anyway, that none of the courts in Texas can figure that out. And so then what the crazy psychotic pediatrician Ann does with the son, she takes the son and his twin brother and moves them to California. That's right. Just days before, psychotic criminal sex pervert Governor Gavin Newsom signs a law into effect that basically prevents this dad from rescuing his son from castration. It's almost as if it's, I mean, I'm not going to say, because I don't want to be considered a conspiracy theorist, but it's almost as if Gavin Newsom was paying attention to this case and he wanted to create a legislative environment, a legal environment into which this woman can take this child to cut these particular testicles off. It's almost like that. Yeah, California is now a sanctuary state for parents who want to mutilate their children. The law went into effect on New Year's Day. If you want to sexually mutilate your children, bring them to California. Gavin and his gang want to help you. And if anyone wants to stop you, Gavin Newsom will use the force of law against them, which is what he's doing now against Jeff Younger. Jeff Younger is petitioning someone in the courts. I don't know. Let's see here. He's petitioning courts in Texas to order her to come back. And the courts in Texas have already proved to Jeff that they could care less. They're incompetent. They don't know right from wrong. And now they're certainly not going to pick a fight with the courts in California. Because in California, Gavin Newsom will deploy armed agents against you if you try to stop someone from mutilating a child. Shocking. We have a quote from Democrat State Senator Scott Wiener, who sponsored the bill that legalized the persecution of parents who want to stop their children from being mutilated. And it also legalized the persecution of anyone who would stand up and say, these people are crazy, they're criminals, they need to be stopped. Including the governor of California. He's an insane sex pervert criminal. And so is Democrat State Senator Scott Wiener, who this guy is probably going to have me arrested someday if I don't shut up. Here's what Scott Wiener says. He says the law is designed to protect transgender children and their families if they're being criminalized in their home state. So you get that? If the transgender children and their family are being criminalized. Well, first of all, it's not a family if mom and dad are divorced. That's no longer a family. I'm sorry. If that offends you and hurts your feelings, tough. It's no longer a family. It's called a broken family. And the reason it's broken is because mom and dad now hate each other. So you can't call that a family. Stop trying it. So the only reason it's criminal is because one member of the family knows that the other member of the family is insane and wants to mutilate the child. They want to stop it. And so now Jeff Younger is powerless as his insane wife. I just don't know how he... I don't know what I would do. If someone wanted to take my child and perform a surgical... I mean, I would go to court, I suppose, but I can assure you it's not going to happen. Over my dead body, and I mean that literally, just over somebody's dead body. All right. Not that we're encouraging Jeff to do anything rash. Now, meanwhile, let's go to, let's just go to reason number 2010. To get or keep your children out of the government schools. At a Virginia elementary school last Friday, a six-year-old boy intentionally shot a female teacher during an altercation. Not a 16-year-old, a six-year-old. Yeah, the police say this was not an accidental shooting. Usually when a six-year-old is involved in a shooting, it's a tragic, horrible accident. But this is at the government school. And here's the thing. We don't know what the teacher did. So I'm willing to hear the six-year-old out. That's all. That's how twisted things have become. What was this teacher doing to cause a six-year-old to... I know the benefit of the doubt goes to the teacher if she was unarmed. But not all the benefit of the doubt anymore. What was she doing? Anyway... the teacher was rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Last report we had was she was in critical condition. And here's the statement from the superintendent of Newport News Elementary School in Virginia, a great school, by the way. You know, there are a lot of bad schools out there, but not this. This is one of the good ones. Yes. I heard the governor of Virginia on some show this past week. What's his name? The guy who won by surprise. Youngkin. Talking about how there are so many great schools in Virginia. There's so many. Almost all of them. You know, the one where the tranny teacher and the freaks were molesting the girls. And I'm sorry, it was a tranny student. I don't want to imply that there's any tranny teachers. It was a tranny student who was encouraged by the teachers who molested the girl in the bath. That was a bad school. But, of course, that one's good now. We've gotten that problem taken care of. But this school is a great school. It's called Newport News Elementary, where a six-year-old shot a teacher during an altercation. And here's what the superintendent, George, has to say. Today, our students got a lesson in gun violence and what guns can do to disrupt not only an educational environment, but also a family, a community. Unquote. That's the superintendent of schools there, George. Newport News. One of the good ones. Okay, meanwhile, that takes us to reason number 2009 in no particular order to get or keep your children out of the government schools. There's been a new Inspector General's report released. It's the annual report on the Chicago Public Schools System Office Department organ there. And the report finds that hundreds of employees groomed and or sexually assaulted students in the Chicago Public Schools. They substantiated more than 300 misconduct allegations out of more than 600 complaints and included one teacher who I don't even want to go into this because this is a story that's over and over, 300 times. That's like a kid, more than a kid a day. What do they go to school for, 9 months? So more than a kid a day being groomed, assaulted, whatever. And that's just by the teachers. Imagine what's going on with the other students. If you send your kids into a government school, you're sinning against your child. You should stop it. It's a horrible, terrible, awful thing to do. It's one of the lowest things that an adult can do is to send a child into an obviously abusive environment. It might be criminal, actually, at this point. It might be criminal. But it's definitely a sin, so cut it out. If your kids are in the government schools, get them out. All right. Then we go. I already did the story from the curmudgeon here with the public schools closing. That's good news. Fewer places for children to be molested. And if they close the government schools, maybe they'll have a place to put all the beautiful migrants crossing our secure border, maybe. We'll have, you know, we don't want them to suffer or be outside in the cold, for crying out loud. So maybe we can put them in the public schools. Or better yet, what about all the homeless people in the death camps all over? Maybe we could start putting them in the public schools. And then maybe hire some medical and religious professionals to go in and try to help them. You know, keep them off the streets. But you know, the thing is that there used to be in America, if you were a crazy person and you wanted to live outside like a caveman, there were a few cities in the country where there were a few small pockets where that was tolerated to some degree. I suppose it's always been thus. But mostly, most of those people ended up in the nut house, right? The insane asylum, right? They were committed. Well, now there's just too many of them. We got nowhere to commit them. We don't have psychiatric institutions. We don't have partnerships between religious and medical community and homes to put. We just don't have it. You can't house that many people. Well, that's what I'm calling for them to do with the government schools. Is turn them over to churches and have the churches start processing the crazy homeless in, and maybe they can help some of them. You know, at least you won't have to bulldoze them every time a politician comes to visit me, because, you know, that's really uncouth to be bulldozing people's neighborhoods, even if their neighborhood is primarily tarps and tires and shopping carts, but still, it's their house, it's their home. Bulldoze it just so that Joe Biden can go and have a photo op. That's not very nice. It'd be better to try to give these people some psychological and religious assistance. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking through half the show. We're halfway home. And we go into the strange religion file where I've been talking about criminally insane sex perverts, and now we're going to talk a little bit about their religion. The criminally insane sex perverts who seized civilization completely, or at least finally, or most conclusively, in the spring and summer of 2020, have a religion, and it revolves around climate change. And I got this from the Alaska Bureau submitted. He submitted it, and I thought this needs to be double and triple checked because I find this hard to believe. It sounds a little too kooky. But so I did. I double checked it. I triple checked it. I sourced it. I double sourced it. And it turns out it's true. That's right. A bunch of climate change hysterics climbed up to the top of what they believe is Mount Sinai. And they had some stone tablets and they read the 10 principles for climate repentance. And then they even smashed the tablets. Uh-huh. That's right. Let's see. Who were these guys? It was a group, the Holy Land. They read the Holy Land Declaration on Climate Change. It was all signed back in 2011 by the Multi-Faith Council of Religious Leaders of the Holy Land. These are high priests of the criminally insane sex cult. To anyone involved, yes, that's who they are. And so they climbed up Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula and they smashed their two fake stone tablets and they read their 10 commandments for climate change. They did, and they called it a symbolic echo of the Bible's Moses smashing the 10 commandments. Moses was upset with the children of Israel for disobeying God. And the high priests of the criminally insane sex cult, the Holy Land Declaration on Climate Change, Council of Religious Leaders of the Holy Land, they're upset with us for not becoming communists and submitting to their climate change hysteria so that they can enslave us and steal all of our money and take our children into captivity. They're mad at us. So it's pretty weird. They had to remind people that it was a symbolic echo of the Bible's Moses because nobody really remembered that. They were like, why are you going up there? What are the tablets? What's this all about? Because nobody knows the story anymore. So they had to... These guys know, though. They know who their enemy is. They know whose face they're putting it in. These guys do. And so does the God whose face they're putting it in. He knows, too. He knows the score. And by the way, the God of the Bible knows that Mount Sinai is not in... the Sinai Peninsula, you morons. It's very obvious if you've read the story and studied the maps and have a clue that Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, across where they, remember they parted the water, never mind, let's just move on. In fact, we should thank God that they weren't on the real Mount Sinai. We can hope maybe God wasn't paying attention, he's not too offended, he's not going to send down hellfire and brimstone yet. Okay, let's go then to Canada, where if you're sick and poor and not particularly good looking, the government wants you to consider killing yourself, please. Right? Remember back in the old days when you said to someone, drop dead, and it was just an insult? Right? You know, you didn't really mean drop dead. Well, in Canada... Health Canada means literally, would you consider please dropping dead? In fact, we can help drop you. Got the story here from Slay News of Roger Foley, who became so unnerved by his hospital's healthcare providers discussing euthanasia that he started recording the conversations. During one conversation, the hospital's director of ethics tried to guilt Roger Foley into thinking about the costs of his hospital stay. The director told Foley, "Look, mate, it's going to cost about north of $1,500 a day, mate. You know, that's a lot of money. Are you sure you want to burden the system with that?" Well, Mr. Foley asked him, "Well, what kind of treatments are available? What can I do?" And the administrator, who had been talking about, the costs are really high here. So when Foley asked what else were his options, the administrator said, "Look, you know, my piece of this was to talk to you to see if you had an interest in assisted dying. You know, that's why I was here. Remember I was telling you about the $1,500? That's a lot of money. Are you sure?" Anyway, so Foley says he had never brought up the subject of ending his own life prior to talking to this guy who apparently didn't think Roger Foley was worth $1,500 a day. That's kind of rough, right? The doctor, the administrator, the guy, he's in a lab coat. He seems really smart. I mean, he knows what's going on, right? I have to respect. He's a professional, probably college educated and all of that. So anyway, the reporters at Slay News, they do mention that, you know, the fact that the ethics director mentioned how much it costs your med. So that's not very ethical. But if you think about it, since we're dealing with people who are calling good evil and evil good and black white and white black and sweet bitter and bitter sweet, then it makes sense that this guy is the ethics director. These are the new ethics. If you're going to cost our socialist healthcare system a lot of money, and I can't, if there's no way for me personally to benefit from your existence, if I can't somehow get something from you personally, and you're costing the government a lot of money, then you should consider killing yourself. In fact, you don't even have to do it. We'll do it for you, and we'll call it suicide. How about that? We'll actually kill you, and then we'll make the paperwork look like you killed yourself. Has anyone in Canada stopped to think about how long it'll be before they no longer are involved in the choice? I'm just saying it's a possibility, that's all. I'm sure it could never happen. No government has ever slaughtered people by the millions. That's never happened. That's crazy. Some kind of conspiracy theory, for crying out loud. And plus, they're Canadians. They're so nice. They're very clean cut, you know. All right, so there you have it. Go to Canada, get sick. If you're not rich, if you're not particularly good looking, if you're not famous, and they'll just say drop dead, basically. All right, now from there, we're going to hop over to the science really file, where there's a comet approaching the Earth. That's right, a comet, I said. It's approaching the Earth. And that, I completely believe that 100%. I have no doubt that this comet is real. Legal Insurrection reports that the comet, formerly known as C-2022-E3, it was only recently discovered, in March of this year. Scientists have only recently snapped the first detailed photograph of comet C-2022-E3, ZTF. But it's going to pass by, make its closest approach to our planet on February 1st, 2023. That's right, coming up here in just a little under a month now. And here's the headline: the comet approaches Earth for the first time in 50,000 years. That's right, according to scientists. The last time this comet passed the Earth was 50,000 years ago. And so that's the whole reason for this entire story, is so that the secular establishment can put this headline out so that everyone can see it. It's pushed into everyone's news feed. Here's a comet that comes along every 50,000 years, because it's just another little chink against a chink in the armor of the Bible that claims the world is only about 6,000 years old. So you know that if a comet can only come every 50,000 years, all those right-wing religious fanatic Christians are crazy. They think the world is only 6,000 years old, and this comet proves it has to be at least 50,000 years old, because we know for a fact this comet hasn't been around for 50,000 years. And so for everyone in the audience, I just want to encourage you to ask the question, how do you know that it's a 50,000 year orbit? Prove it to me. I want to see the math. I want to see the calculations. And then I want to see what you give me, and I want to take it to someone who knows math, because I don't know math. I don't know math because I opted for history. That's right. And so I didn't take a lot of math. But I do know history, and I know that history tells us the world is only about 6,000 years old. And so, but I would take this to someone who knows math and let him tell me if you're bamboozling me or not. Or actually, the mathematician could tell me how you're bamboozling me, because there's no way you can prove that this comet came along 50,000 years ago. It's not possible. I'm going to assert that, and then we'll see if we can follow up on this, because maybe this will be a story. I don't know. Well, the comets are pretty cool. Everybody likes comets. So as we get closer to the approach in February, we can ask for the math and the data and the evidence that proves that this comet came along 50,000 years ago before the universe existed. Okay, so that's going to be difficult to prove. So from there, we're going to jump over to reason number 2011. Reason number 2011 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And for that, we go to New Jersey, where 57-year-old teacher, art teacher Frank Thompson, was found unconscious and unresponsive on the floor of his arts classroom, his public school classroom. He was the art teacher. And so police arrived. The nurse was helping, yada, yada, yada. One of the police decided, gee, maybe he needs Narcan. And sure enough, he did. The Narcan woke him up because the teacher was suffering from a fentanyl overdose in front of the class. So the kids were sitting in their desks like, what's wrong with Mr. Thompson? How come he was blinking so slowly and then all of a sudden he collapsed? Anyway, so if an athlete collapses on the field, you suspect the COVID vaccine, a side effect from the COVID vaccine. If a public school teacher collapses in class, you suspect a drug overdose. I mean, it's just logic, folks. Come on. Anyway, how do we know this was a drug overdose? Well, the Narcan woke him up. That was the first clue. And then the police also found fentanyl and drug paraphernalia in the closet of the classroom where the kids were. And so fentanyl is something that, like, if a little kid touches it or breathes in a little bit of a powder that was maybe floating in the air, the kid could die. And this guy had it in the closet of his classroom. Reason number 2011, the teacher might kill your kid by accident, or your teacher might die in front of your kid, which can be traumatic. See, reason number 2011, not everyone arrives in time with Narcan. And then your child is forever traumatized by having watched Mr. Thompson go into convulsions in front of the classroom as he died of an overdose, for crying out loud. Just reason number 2011, get your kids out. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for being with us and hanging with us. I want to go now to, should I go to the House of Representatives? No, I don't really care that much about it. I mean, my prediction came true. McCarthy is the Speaker of the House, as I said. He knows how to He knows how to bribe and cajole and lie. And I mean, some conservative, allegedly conservative talking heads and pundits and talk show hosts are excited about the fact that the conservatives, got all these concessions from the establishment. We got Kevin McCarthy to agree to a bunch of procedural gobbledygook. So you got a known liar to promise you some stuff. Okay, let's see how that works out. I actually hope it does do some good. I was encouraged by Gates and Boebert. I'll admit that I was actually impressed that they had the fortitude to stand up against the... By the way, the last time a fight for Speaker of the House went this long was in 1859, right before America's first Civil War. History is not really an indication of what could happen again. Don't want to imply anything about... Okay, so let's... Good luck to the congressmen and the congresswomen and the congresspersons and the congresspregnant people. Good luck to all of you. Saving America. So I had a conversation with some adults. In my professional life, I ended up spending a few hours with a number of adults who are all my age. Mostly women. One guy at a certain time. Anyway, they're all around my age. And they all have children who are in high school, and they're all divorced. And they're friends for many years. So as I was there on a professional level doing some consulting, they were talking to each other about life, mostly about their kids and their exes. And it was interesting on two levels. First of all, the fact that many adults are living out their high school fantasies vicariously through their children is truly scary. All the stuff that we were doing in high school that we hid from our parents are now watching their kids do, and they're excited about it. They like it. They find it interesting. Not interesting. They find it entertaining, even titillating. It's really weird, creepy. Yeah, and that was disturbing to hear that. And then the other part was the dating. There's nothing more humiliating than a 50-something-year-old divorcee on a dating app. And to hear it, it makes you want to weep for that person, for what they're going through. At one point, I was asked, how long have you been married? And I said, 30 years. They said, wow, but marriage is hard, right? And I said, not nearly as hard as what you're going through. What I've heard you guys talking about, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So anyway, it's just really interesting. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. One of the people I came in contact with in my professional world over the past week or so told me that she was going to have her fiance come and make that meeting so that we could, whatever I was doing, I can't remember, but her fiance was going to come and fulfill her portion of it because she couldn't make it on time. So she's going to send her fiance. So I just want to comment on the evolution of the word fiancé. Now, fiancé used to mean, when a girl said her fiancé, what that meant was, that's the man I've never slept with who I hope will marry me. That's what fiancé used to mean. Now, fiancé means the guy I'm currently sleeping with who'll probably never marry me. That's the difference. So anyway, just check that as you go out into the world and people mention their fiancés. All right. Is that all I had from that? Oh, on Donald Trump. Do I even want to mention Donald Trump? I mean, I've already said this. Anyway, I had a listener say he was going to vote for Trump. But, you know, just be, even as the lesser of two evils. And that was kind of depressing. So I just let him know, you know, Donald Trump is... if you vote for the lesser of two evils, just remember you're voting for evil. And you said it yourself. He's the lesser of two what? Oh, evils. Okay, well, don't. I try to not affirmatively participate in evil if I have any other choice. And I know some you have no choice. If you're gonna live in the world, you're going to participate in activities with some evil people, and you're going to even help give money to people who are going to do evil things with that money. But it is where I cannot, I don't. And I just encourage you all to be that way. If you cannot, don't. If at all possible. In fact, speaking of if you cannot, don't, let's go to the widespread file, another story that was submitted to me from the Alaska Bureau that I was extremely skeptical about. Because I just thought, this is crazy. What's up there in the Alaska Bureau? Has he got his tinfoil hat on? What's going on? He sends me this story. The Bureau. It's an entire bureau at work up there. They send me the story about the president of a European pharmaceutical giant who's been arrested for faking like he got the vaccine. And he's tied to a large group of famous rich people and elites who have faked getting the vaccine. And I thought, this is crazy. There's no way this is true. I mean, after all, this is from investmentwatchblog.com. Who are they? They're not the New York Times. You can't trust. So I double and triple and quadruple checked the story, went to the original European sources, Le Monde, and the police, by the way, and I found out it's true. Jose Maria Fernandez Sousa Fato, president of the European pharmaceutical giant Pharmamar, has been charged by police with being falsely vaccinated and falsely logged into the vaccine database. That's right. He's caught up in a scandal in Europe involving people added to the National Immunization Registry in exchange for large amounts of money. And many of the people are familiar faces and household names, the famous and the politically powerful in Spain. They faked it. They arranged to be injected with saline instead of the COVID-19 shot, and they paid to have their names added to Spain's immunized register. This is confirmed by police sources and reported in El Periódico de España, in Le Monde, or El Mundo, I'm sorry. Among more than 2,200 celebrities and European elites are on this list so far. The leader of the network was a nursing assistant at the La Paz University Hospital, where she charged up to 200,000 euros. And he's been arrested, and he's in custody because they were faking the shot. Why were they faking the shot? Well, because if you have half a brain and you're relatively young and relatively healthy, you're like, well, maybe I don't want to get this shot. And if there's a way to not, I'd rather not. And, you know, if you're rich enough and there's a way to not, well, there you go. This is what they did. And so I don't know that it's because they know that the shot was actually concocted in order to kill a third of the population. I don't know if I go that far. But they were definitely not willing to take a risk on an experimental shot that nobody knew what it was going to do. And by the time we got even partway into 2020, it was pretty obvious that this virus wasn't going to kill a third of the people. It was going to kill sick people who were older and had underlying. It was obvious it wasn't going to kill all of us. So anyway, there you have it. The elites didn't take the shot. I had a friend. At the very beginning when the shots came out, he said, those politicians, they're not taking real shots. They're taking fake shots. And I thought, this guy's crazy. Well, it turns out he's not crazy. At least in this case, he's right. I should have realized that rich thinking people are not going to want to put an experimental vaccine into their body, for crying out loud, if there's any way not to. All right. So there you have that. And so, by the way, just so you know, I want to address what's his name? The guy with the gravelly voice who says 9/11 was an inside job. It's a false flag. I can't remember his name. The radio guy who's anyway, everyone says he was right. He was right. Alex Jones. Well, here's the thing about Alex Jones. If you spend a few hours every day on the radio throwing every single conspiracy that anyone's ever hatched up against the wall, and then one of them sticks, two of them stick 20 years later, that doesn't mean you were right. It just means you believed every single thing and a couple of them turned out to be right. So stop with the Alex Jones worship. The guy's a nut job. And he's an embarrassment to Christianity, by the way. I believe he does claim to be a Christian. And I'm embarrassed to be associated with him. You know, just because I think that the vaccine probably had something to do with the football player on Monday Night Football, that does not mean I'm Alex Jones giving a sermon at the Westboro Baptist Church. That's not what that means. There are certain people and organizations I do not want to be associated with. And so there, I just want to make that clear, okay? And just because you question whether or not that vaccine might hurt you, well, that doesn't make you Alex Jones preaching at the Westboro Baptist Church. It just makes you a rational thinking person. That's all. And you should not take that shot. Okay, so I think I've already said that. Now I'm repeating myself. It must be time for the show to be over. But I can't. I have to do the widespread tyranny. A doctor in Germany has been sentenced to more than 2 years in prison. What did he do? He issued about 4,000 mask exemptions during the coronavirus hysteria. That's right. He was a medical doctor and he was allowed to write people exemptions, and he wrote them for anyone who asked him for one. And the government calls him a criminal now and they've sentenced him to prison. What was his defense during his trial? His defense was, I'm a doctor. Wearing masks is harmful to people's health. And that didn't work. You know why that didn't work? Because that doesn't matter anymore that you're a doctor and you know that wearing a mask if you're not sick is stupid and unhealthy. That doesn't matter anymore. Now you're a criminal. Because I'll refer you back to the people who are saying black is white and white is black and evil is good and good is evil and all of those. I'll just refer you back to them. That's who's ruling Germany now. The doctor who kept his head while all about him were losing theirs, he ends up going to prison. He plans to appeal. We hope that enough of the insane people running the government drop dead so that he can maybe be free someday. All right. So, and speaking of that, from the widespread panic file, about 10 days ago, Joe Biden was spotted stepping off Marine One wearing a mask. Uh-huh. And so a reporter asked the lesbian press secretary, something John Pierre, asked, hey, why is the president wearing a mask? And she said, I don't know. I didn't notice. We all wear our masks on Marine One. Well, wait a minute. Did you not know? Did you not notice? Or do you all wear your masks? She didn't know what to say. Now, we already know that she's a moron and she can barely put a sentence together. But this almost seems like she felt like she had to lie or cover something up and then realize, well, maybe I don't have to lie. Maybe I can, or maybe I could, should I make something up? Should I lie? Should I dissemble? What should I do? She wasn't sure what to do. She didn't know which lie to tell. She was asked by a reporter, was he exposed to someone? That's a loaded question to ask a Biden. Was he exposed to someone? Were any of his kids around? Let's see. John Pierre said, no, Joe Biden tested negative on a cognitive ability test. Oh, I'm sorry, on an antigen test, apparently related to the cold virus there. Well, what's the deal, John Pierre? Can you answer us? Can you tell us why was Biden wearing a mask? And she was, well, I always try to have a mask, and when it comes to transportation, we put on a mask, and I just don't have anything else to share. So I think that Joe Biden, in his delicate state, along with Karine Jean-Pierre just being a mental midget, they're part of the class of people with the permanent brain damage from the wearing the mask. They put the mask on because that's what you do when you get on a bus or a train or a plane, right? Don't we put on masks? That's right. The brain damage reaches to the highest levels of government. That's right. Which is where it all came from. So the brain damage came from there, and apparently some of it stuck with them up there, believe it or not. All right. So I think, do I want to end with Prince Harry? I really don't really care what Prince Harry has to say. But he came out saying that he had killed 25 Afghan fighters. Apparently he's hyping a book that's been leaked. Oh, very carefully leaked so that he can hype it and sell. All right. I don't why anyone would care what this kid has to say any longer is beyond me. But I just want to make note that claiming that you killed 25 men in combat is pretty highly unusual. I've known a few guys who've been in combat, and that's not really something any of them... I would have never expected to hear any of them say that. Just bad form. It almost sounds like you're not telling the truth. That's... And he's also come under criticism from former military commanders saying that his comments were ill-judged. He may have undermined his own security, and it could provoke revenge attacks. Remember, these are Islamists. Unlike you, Prince Harry, they actually believe something, even if it's false and even if it's evil. You just go along with evil. I don't even know if you believe evil. You're just going along. They actually believe, and so you might end up getting your wife and children, if you ever have children. They have kids now, right? Anyway, you should be shooting your mouth off, punk. All right, that's it for the Weekly Worldview, folks. Should the Lord Terry will return next week, I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and all of you for listening. Again, should the Lord Terry will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.